Welcome. I'd like to invite you to turn to James as we wind up our series. We've got one more passage next week, which if inviting people forward and anointing them with oil and having prayer around them for healing is something that is foreign to you, I want you to know that the Church of the Nazarene believes in that. And next Sunday, as we look at the Scripture, you'll see that James, our pastor from Scripture today and next Sunday, reminds us. He says, if anyone is sick among you, he should ask the elders of the church to come and pray over them and anoint them with oil. And, you know, we don't prescribe to and tell God when to do things. Amen? But we do believe that it is our role and our privilege to believe in faith. And so when we pray for healing, we're not necessarily asking God to do it like we would see fit. But we're asking His will to be done, and we are presenting our bodies, our minds, our souls to Him, that in faith He would bring us healing. And we believe as a church that when we invite Jesus in faith into our lives, that He brings help and healing in every area of our life, including our bodies, our minds, and our souls. And so we will be offering an opportunity next week. If you have been thinking about an area of sickness in your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, would like to invite you to pray about coming forward next week to be anointed with oil, and we will be praying for God's healing on your behalf. James chapter 5. We have begun to, I've got several customers in the barbershop that are farmers, and you know, spring fever has hit. Farmers are anxious to get out there in the field and get to digging around. It will soon be planting season, and I'm already hearing rumors of farmers saying, you know, down south, down in western Illinois, that some of those farmers are already starting to put their seeds in the ground. They are anxious to get out there and get rolling. Soon, it's not very long after the seeds get in the ground that we begin to see a beautiful carpet of green start to emerge out of a carpet of brown. It's a beautiful miracle of spring every year. James uses this illustration about the work and patience of a farmer to teach us some spiritual truths. And let's look into his word right now. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. No, or you will be condemned. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we have looked heavenward this morning through the songs. Our hearts have found an avenue of expression through music, through prayer, through quietness, through an observance of life around us. The person sitting next to us, springtime in the air. Father, lead us now. We are anxious We are sitting on the edge of our seat waiting to hear your voice. So Lord, as Mark prayed, Father, move me to the side so that your Spirit may speak. And Lord, speak through me, I pray, but don't let me get in the way. Thank you, Father, for this morning, for this privilege we have of opening your word and hearing your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you catch it? Maria, you're waiting for something. Yeah, you are. Yeah. Dad, you're waiting for something. Mark, you're waiting. Steve's back there waiting. Brad's waiting. Mike's waiting. Jacinia's waiting. We're all waiting. If we're part of the family of God, we are waiting for something. The next big event on the calendar of God is what? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember? When Jesus was ascended into heaven, two angels appeared before the disciples and said, "Why do you stand here?" And they were like, looking up as Jesus was ascended into heaven. Two angels appeared and said, "Don't stand here just looking up into heaven. Know this, that in the same way that he went to heaven, he will come again." So let's remember and not lose sight of the fact that we are in a point of waiting. We're kind of like in the waiting room in God's kingdom. The next big event is the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've got a list of scriptures here. I'm going to read the references to you if you want to write them down in the my takeaway for the day part of your bulletin. And then I'm also going to ask Brad to put a couple of them up on the screen. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. John 14, 1 through 3. Acts 1, 9 through 11. Philippians 3, 20 through 21. If you need to get these later, I can get them to you. Put one up, Brad. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. All the scriptures that I'm quoting here have to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a reality, friends. He's coming back. In the same way that he came, he is returning. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Not just falling asleep in church here, but that means those who have died. Those, Dan, wake up. Wake up, wake up. He's not dead. He's alive. Okay. About those who have fallen asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord, whoop, back up a little bit there, Brad. Thank you. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we are who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord forever in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Another couple of scriptures you may want to write down on your My Takeaway for the Day section of your bulletin is Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 through 15. I wish we had time to read all these, because if you're thinking about, well, I don't know if that's really scriptural or not, if Jesus is really going to come again and just, you know, take us all away. Well, if we're still alive, it's a reality. It is a fact. Jesus is coming again. Let's look at Revelation. Brad, if you could put this one up. There you go. Look, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So it shall be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Then Revelation chapter 22, from the last chapter of God's book. Amen. Behold, I am coming soon. This is Jesus speaking. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Jesus Christ, can I get an amen here? Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. He is coming again. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. That's us. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Did you have one more for me, Brad? Verse 17. There. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Amen. So here we are. What do we do while we wait? We're waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like, you know, we could picture waiting around as though we're waiting for the bus or waiting for the train or waiting for the doctor or waiting for the dentist. We're sitting in the waiting room. What are we to do while we wait? Sometimes we think, well, if I'm supposed to wait, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do, is just wait and do nothing. But James tells us that's not really what he means by waiting. While we wait, the older we get, the more we understand that we really can't let time go without being productive with it. Because as adults, especially when the responsibilities of life start to just kind of come in on us, there's no way that any of us feel like we can afford to just let the time pass and not get something done. Amen. Good leadership training has taught me to always have work with me. You never know when you'll have to be in a time of waiting, and you don't want to be caught in a situation where time stops, it feels like, and you've got a mountain of work that you could be doing, but you have no access to that work. So you want to always have work with you. Now, you don't always have to do it. Sometimes you need downtime, and that waiting time is really great. It feels awesome just to relax and meditate. But we don't want to waste our time. And while the next big thing on God's calendar is the second coming of Jesus, we should not excuse ourselves from being unproductive. Doing nothing, sitting here waiting for Jesus to come. Now, we've seen it at work. People who just come in, punch in, put in their time and go. Huh? And it's like they've made a job out of looking busy but not getting anything done. And those of us who really like to get stuff done, we jump in a lot of times and we try to cover the bases. And that's okay, I guess. But bottom line is, James is not telling us to just wait and sit and look up. James is telling us to be like the farmer who knows that harvest day is coming, but there's certain things that he can't do, but there's certain things that he can do and he must as he waits for the harvest. First, I want to tell you this morning, and I want to remind you as your pastor, that we need to recognize God's clock. It's healthy. It's good. And remember that God's clock, weekly clock, begins with the Sabbath. Amen. As you're here this morning, your soul is being fed by the Holy Spirit Himself. Your soul is resting as it's being fed. There's a nourishment happening. There's a filling happening. It feels good, doesn't it? It feels right. I know it's hard, you know, especially on a time change Sunday like this one, to get up and get going. But I think all of us would agree, now that we're here, man, we're so glad that we're here. It just feels right. The Holy Spirit is filling us with His power and wisdom. I want you to know that His clock begins with the Sabbath, and it's okay to be tired. It's okay to need a break. You know why? Because you were created to have a break. Amen? You were created to enjoy the Lord's presence in a special way on the Sabbath. And let's just get real here. Sometimes that's the first thing to go in our lives. And we've been talking about margin in small group time and how God has created us to have margin, but we press it to the limit. We go to the edge and we find ourselves so stressed. And in fact, if we don't have margin, we are stressed out. And it begins, let me just encourage you and thank you for being here today. Because you're putting margin back in your life right here, right now. God says, draw away with me for a while, amen? And let your souls find rest. You're tired. You've been doing the work. You've been grinding it out. Well done. But rest. Now, rest. I have to be honest and tell you that I didn't do very good for a few years of my life taking a Sabbath. I had let a lot of stuff just kind of crowd that out, and I didn't find rest for my soul. And you know what? Instead of getting better and getting more work done, I got less done, and I got less productive because I'm not designed to run 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's not how any of us are designed. So don't fall for the silly trap, silly lie of working all the time. Take a break. It's in God's clock. It's on His schedule. Don't miss time with Him. For some of you this morning, that would be the very best thing you could do, is to start there and take a break. Take a rest. Now for others, it's time to get up and get going. Now, stay for just a few more minutes here. But anyway, what I'm saying is, it's time to get up and get it done. Because the Holy Spirit is giving you a job to do. While we wait, let's not only look and be ready for His coming, but let's be busy about doing the Master's work. The Bible teaches us that work is a beautiful thing. In the Garden of Eden, God, after He created this beautiful garden, He created Adam and Eve, and He allowed them and He commissioned them to tend the garden, to work in the garden. Go to work. Work is a beautiful thing. It is God's provision in your life to feed you and meet your needs. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you. And by the way, 1 Thessalonians is written within the context of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The writer of Thessalonians is saying, Jesus is coming again. And they were like, so what do? Go up on top of a mountain and wait? No. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your hands, just as we told you. You know, work, the place where we work is God's mission field, where you and I have been divinely commissioned to share Jesus with the people that we work with every day. This is where we build relationships with outsiders. Now, those aren't my words. Those are the words of the writer of 1 Thessalonians, that we may win the respect of those who are on the outside. We are created to be in fellowship with God and others. Next thing that we do is so productive and so wonderful for the kingdom of God is that we are to meet needs while we wait. Find a need and meet it. That is a great business strategy. Deb, you know what? There's a lot of people in the Dixon area that need their pants hemmed. And you started a business, a very productive business, thriving business. She found a need and met it. And that's not only a great business strategy. We didn't come up with that. That's too good. Jesus, while preaching one day, saw a great crowd of people, and they were all getting hungry. The disciples came to him and said, "Master, everybody here is, their stomachs are growling. Send them home that they can go get something." He said, "No, there's a need here. You meet it." Huh? So the boys got together and they said, "Well, how can we feed this many people?" And Jesus said, "Well, what do you have?" And one of them turned to the side and said, "Well, this young man has 5 loaves and 2 fish in his lunch bag. Perfect, bring it over." And he blessed it, and it was enough. While we're waiting for the second coming of Jesus, find a need and meet it. Amen? Enjoy your purpose, found in God, lived out in your daily interactions and productivity. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 11 says this, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commend you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. Even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat." Work is a beautiful thing. It's God's provision in your life. Now, there's different forms of work. There's physical work. There's mental work. But work. Be productive, I guess, is the way to say it. And finally, we are to actively wait. What does it mean for James to say, "Look, he is coming again"? What he means is, that's not all we're supposed to do, but he's calling attention to remind us that Jesus Christ is coming again, and to live in that reality while we're being productive. Amen. To know that at any time, while we haven't, God hasn't shared with me his Google calendar. For those of you who know how Google works in the calendar, I don't know when the second coming is. I don't know when he's going to send Jesus. In fact, he hasn't shared that day of his calendar with anybody. Amen? But it's on his calendar, and there is a day coming when God says, "Jesus, go get your bride, the church. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb." So what do we do? Matthew 28, while we wait, 18 through 20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded to you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." Or in other words, until the calendar stops and Jesus is sent by the Father to come and get us and take us home. Amen. Be patient, James says. Farming is a year-round occupation, and I like to hear what farmers are doing when they're not harvesting. Now, we think of farmers mostly in the springtime when they've got their equipment on the road and they're blocking our forward progress. And we think of them in the fall when they've got their equipment on the road and they're creating a dust cloud in the fields, and we feel good about it. But their work is full time, amen? And I like to hear what they're up to, because I don't see them during planting and I don't see them during harvest. But when harvest is done, they come in, get their hair cut. Some of them are pretty, bushy looking by that time. The planting and the harvesting is what we see. But around the clock, around the year. There is equipment maintenance. There's financial preparation. There's orders to make. There's selling the crop at the right time. There's contracts to sign. There's insurance to secure. There's strategic planning on what to plant where and when to harvest it and who's going to harvest it and what equipment to use and how to get it financed, how to get it to the field. There's the testing of the soil, and then there's the praying for God to do what only He can do. You see, as the farmer does what he does and he puts the seed in the ground, what can he do other than wait for the miracle of God to happen? Amen. There's something that we do as we put the seed in the ground, and then we still haven't figured out how that seed, that dried up piece of something that was threw on the ground from last year from that ear of corn, how can you put that in the ground, put a little water on it, and it grows? We don't understand that. That's God's work. So be patient, James says. Along with patience comes consistency and perseverance. Most things worth doing are a lot of work, and it takes time, consistency, and perseverance to complete. Completion is necessary, though, to bring the reward for our labor. I don't know if you can see it or not, but they're off to your right. That's all the diamonds, you know. And this guy down below, he's just been working and he's working and he's working and he's working and he got tired. He just got fatigued. And he decided to give up. He's going to go home. There's probably no diamonds here anyway. Philip Brooks was a great preacher in New England in the 19th century. He was nationally known for his sermons against slavery during the and for the Union during the Civil War. His sermon on the death of Abraham Lincoln moved the nation at that time. His Yale lectures on preaching are still widely read and taught today. You might know him because he wrote a simple Christmas song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Even though he was very well known and had a huge physical presence, he was a very quiet person. But even people like him who seem to have it all together can get frustrated. One day, a friend saw him pacing back and forth in his study like a caged lion. His friend asked him what the trouble was, and his reply was classic. Here's this great man of God, hymn writer, preacher, seemed to have it all together. He said, "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry, but God's not." We always have to remember that we are just people. We can't tell God what to do and when to do it. Amen? James calls our attention to Abraham. He said, you know, remember Abraham and Sarah? They'd been promised a son, and they were way up in years before God fulfilled that promise. In fact, they were like, you know, I just don't see it happening. You know, 80 and 90 years old, they were promised a son. Hang on to the promise, because God loves to just do the impossible. Amen. He does only what He can do. He reminds us of Job. The writer of James does. He says Job was, you remember the story? He was successful, prosperous, had all kinds of children and all kinds of land and all kinds of property. Satan came to God and said, he's only blessing your name because you've been blessing him. God says, no, it's deeper than that. Satan says, let me tempt him. Let me test him. Let me break him. God said, okay. Calamity upon calamity fell in upon Job. And Job did not curse God. You remember how the story ends? He could have, but he didn't. And even though it got really, 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 really difficult, amen? He lost everything, Job still did not curse God. And he broke through. He broke through to God's blessing. He broke through to the diamonds. Well, better than diamonds. Amen. God's blessing. Jesus is coming back. How will he find us when he returns? Busy? You remember when the teacher would leave the room at in grade school? Man, I was the first one to put a paper airplane together and, you know, throw it at Gary or Marcel. The teacher has left the room, but he is coming back. Amen. How will he find us behaving? Will we be busy doing the work that we're supposed to be doing when he returns? Blessed is he who's doing the work when he returns. Be patient. James tells us to be patient. Be patient with people. Be patient with everybody. Be patient like the farmer. How many of you have got people in your life that you just are having a hard time being patient with? James says, be patient. Be patient. There's progress happening. Be patient with people. Be patient as you plant the seeds of the gospel, because they're going to grow. The Bible says that my word does not return to me void. In other words, when you put the word of God out there, it's going to grow. Amen. There's seeds planted. It's going to grow. Now, we may not see the progress immediately. Sometimes days or weeks or months go by and we're like, yeah, I'm just not seeing anything happening. But God is doing what only he can do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Woo! Hannah has grown so much. There she is right there. She came to visit Grandma and Grandpa yesterday. She came for a photo shoot. She's 3.5 weeks old. And while we may not see the changes from day to day in a baby, you know, when Grandma and Grandpa haven't seen her for a week or so, whoa! Look how much she's changed. The Word of God is alive and active, doing its daily work. In 3.5 weeks, and she looks different today. In 3.5 weeks, she's growing so fast, but day by day you may not see it. But know that God is doing what he does. He is bringing production and fruit to the seeds that you are planting. Amen. Thank you for being faithful in the community. Thank you for being faithful at work, on Facebook, online. Just plant the seeds of the gospel. Thank you for being faithful in the daily interactions that you're having with your family members, with your friends, with your coworkers, because God is bringing fruit. Well, sometimes the work can seem hard, so slow. James admonishes us, and I'm coming in for a landing. I've got lots more here, but I'm going to end it here soon. James says, you know, you've got a temptation. He says, while you're waiting and doing the work, it's going to be easy for you to, well, just start grumbling. James says, don't grumble. While you're doing the work, you know, when the farmer's out there and he's digging it up and he's putting the seed in and he's bringing in the harvest, stuff breaks. Unanticipated problems occur. There will be much to find fault with in this fallen world. In fact, sometimes we can turn on each other as we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can get frustrated with each other and we can be like, why does Jay do that? Not really, Jay. Why does the pastor do that? We get frustrated and be like, oh, wouldn't preach so long. Get home in a good time. James says, don't grumble at each other. There's plenty of things, because we live in a fallen world, that we can find fault with. And James says, don't fall into the trap of grumbling, because it's only going to sap your progress. It's only going to sap your effectiveness. there will be much to find fault with in this fallen world, but sometimes the fact is the fault lies with us and our false sense of entitlement. We've been given so much. Brad, could you put up that picture of the little guy with the hamburger? Do you have that one? Oh, you don't have that one. Okay, sorry. Anyway, I've got a picture of a little guy with a hamburger, a beautiful plate, a juicy burger, fries, an apple. Okay, you're hungry? All right, picture with me, Cheryl. He's got this beautiful plate, hamburger, fries, it's steaming, and he looks at it and he's going, ugh. And you know what? Sometimes the very gifts that God gives us of each other, we can go, oh. They're gifts, blessings, meant to refine us, meant to feed us, meant to help us be accountable in the kingdom. Life is hard, but God is good. Amen. Enjoy everything. Enjoy the gifts that God gives us. Somebody paid the price for the gifts that we have in our lives. Let's be thankful and not grumble while we wait for His returning. There's so much to be thankful for. Amen. Feeling disgruntled about something, grumbling and complaining is an emotional reaction to a situation we wish was different. But it is a choice that we make to either feel appreciation or feel underappreciated, or our sense of entitlement was not met. It is a choice to see ourselves as entitled to feel good or being willing to pay the price for others. And like the model of Jesus and He set for us, it is our role as believers in Jesus to pay the price just as He did. To pay the price. To not go through this world with a sense of entitlement and say, well, bring it on. Yeah, then I'll be happy. Jesus has taught us to pay the price. Thankful for our military who have paid the price over the years. I'm thankful for our law enforcement who have paid the price. I'm thankful for servant leaders who have paid the price in my life and made it possible for me to know Jesus Christ through the church. Coming in for a landing, Philippians 2, 12 through 15. Do everything without complaining. As you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without arguing and complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Brad, would you put up that last picture of the ears of corn? Quitting is easier than enduring, isn't it? How many of you have quit and you're like, you know, years later, you're like, oh, that was really stupid. I was so close to a breakthrough. God reminds us, don't quit. Keep on keeping on. Persevere. Keep on pushing. Well, remember the Sabbath. But be productive, because Jesus Christ is coming again. Quitting produces a pattern that is hard to break. So if you've been thinking, this relationship is just too hard, I want out, or this job just isn't what I expected, remember, you develop resiliency by remaining faithful in a situation that you don't like and can't change. So don't give up. Amen. God gives great honor to those who endure. Brad, would you go to 1 Peter 1, 13 through 23, and come in there. Worship team, would you come up as we prepare to close this morning? 1 Peter 1, 13 through 23. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy. in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, see that you have sincere love for the brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring Word of God. I want to encourage you to dig all the way through. Amen. I want to encourage you to prepare for the harvest by planting the seed. You're going to be amazed. You already are, but we'll be amazed at God's work as He does what only He can do. Amen. The only reward that is eternal is the commendation of Jesus. Well done. Well done. I want to close this morning with singing a hymn. Might be familiar to you if you've been around the church for a while, but it is an oldie. It's called Will Jesus Find Us Watching? Would you stand with me as we sing? When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him, will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright? Oh, can we say, we're ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home. Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Jesus come to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night. Faithful to him, will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Have we been true to the trust he left us? Do we seek to do our best? If in our hearts there is not condemns us, we shall have a glorious rest. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home?
find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come.
Just the voices. Here we go.
Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?
Amen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Have a wonderful week. Stand firm. Watch. Wait. Be busy. Be productive. He is coming again. May God bless you.